right heart and mind. I think we're going to finish this series up with this fifth message in this brief series, keeping a right heart and a mind. The question was asked of Jesus, or it was not really in the form of a question, it was a form of a statement. Jesus said, "You know not what manner of spirit ye are of." You may remember the context of that statement, but I'm asking tonight, what spirit are you of? What manner of spirit are you of? Because it really has to do with keeping a right heart and mind, the manner of spirit you and me are of. So you're going to be in Luke chapter 9. We're going to read the context so we can understand where that statement came from and why we might ask that question of ourselves, of what spirit are you, or what manner of spirit are you? Luke chapter 9 and down to verse 49. And John answered and said, "Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him because he followed not us." He wasn't an independent fundamental Baptist, Jesus. And so we said, "You can't do that, you know." And so we stopped him. Would you be proud of us? We stopped him. So he's going on with that. And Jesus said unto him, "Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us." And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him. The Samaritans did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did?" And they sound more and more like fundamental Baptists, don't they? But he turned and rebuked them and said, "You know not what manner of spirit ye are of." I thank God that James and John learned as they discipled with the Lord Jesus concerning the manner of spirit we're to have in ministry. And they certainly had a lot of growing to do, but they did it. And thank God they did. They did respond. James and John remained very, very close to Jesus and became pillars in the early churches that they were part of and involved with. And certainly we owe a great deal of our heritage to these men, humanly speaking, to these men, James and John. And we thank God for the fact that they learned their lesson here, that the spirit that they were communicating to others was not a spirit of grace and concern and care for souls. You know, it was more a concern for them, you know, being the ones that were declared to be right and the others being declared to be wrong. So Jesus said, that's not the spirit. You know, the Samaritans, yes, they didn't receive you. They didn't want to receive me. They didn't want to have a meeting. They saw that my face was set going to Jerusalem. They were wrong in that, but our purpose is not to destroy them, to kill them, to, I am not come to destroy, you know, but to save the souls of men. The Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. So they went to another village, though, with another spirit. They went to another village with another manner of spirit. They had been humbled. They had been rebuked by the Lord and corrected, and now they were being instructed in righteousness. And so I ask the question of us, when we're thinking about keeping a right spirit and a right heart and a right mind, we need to work on making sure that we have the right manner of spirit. So we talked about the teachable spirit first week, first couple weeks. Second time, the second one was the forgiving spirit. The third area where we need to keep our spirit is to keep a cheerful spirit. And keeping a right heart and mind also involves what manner of spirit we are of as well. So we're going to look at keeping a believing spirit today, you know, keeping a believing spirit. I know that when I'm angry at something that goes wrong on some project that isn't going right and just doesn't want to go right, and you know the devil's in it, but when I am angry in spirit and upset in that, I know that that is, I know that the Lord is saying, "You know not what manner of spirit you're of." Well, I really do, Lord. I know it's the wrong spirit. that I am of when I am angry about some silly little thing that, you know, just went wrong in this project, and that thing broke off, you know, just out of my reach, and I can't get in there with the screwdriver, and I can't get it out, and got to start all over, and I put all this together, and I forgot that part, and got to take it all apart again and put it back in the right order, and angry about things like that, you know. That is not the spirit that is magnifying Jesus Christ. That is not the spirit that contributes to a right heart and right mind. Is my heart right? Is my mind right when I am of that manner of spirit? No, the answer is no. The answer is no. So to keep a right heart, a right mind, I've got to work on keeping a teachable spirit, which involves humility. You know, remember we talked about that. Keeping a forgiving spirit, which involves, you know, recognizing the fact that Christ forgave me of so much more than I'll ever have to forgive anybody else of, and then forgiving for keeping a cheerful spirit, having that attitude that, you know, God's in control, and yeah, you know, the world's a dark place, and there's a lot of bad things that goes on in this present world, but the prince of this world is, we know who it is, we know it's Satan, and so I can keep a cheerful spirit in a dark place because I know who wins, and I know the end of the story. We talked about that, cheerful spirit. So let's keep a believing spirit as well. Let's go now to Mark chapter 9 and find one who was asking the Lord, Lord, help me to keep and to have and to keep a believing spirit. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. And we'll read on down through verse 29. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. Keeping a believing spirit. When he came, verse 14, Mark chapter 9, when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway, all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribe, what question are you with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and whosoever, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell to the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him in the fire, in the waters, to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. So this man was struggling with that question of the Lord, if thou believest, all things are possible. He said, I believe. I want to believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And so we as Christians are believers, but sometimes we operate with a spirit of unbelief. So we need to keep a believing spirit in order to keep our heart and mind where it needs to be. We need to maintain a spirit of faith. We're to do that. We can do that. We can only keep a right heart and mind by doing that, by having and maintaining a spirit of faith. For the Lord said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he was a reward of them that diligently seek him. And so the faith that we exercise to trust Christ as our Savior, is the same faith that we need to exercise daily and to walk by. So we need to maintain that spirit of faith. I'm talking about as a Christian, as we walk, the faith that saved us is also the faith that will keep us, and it is also the faith that we operate by. And we're talking about faith in the truth or the trueness of God's Word. If we're to have our mind and heart right, we got to keep our faith in the truth of God's Word, that it is true, that every word is true, that it is preserved, that it is perfect, that we have a book that we can totally rely on as the Word of God. And we need to keep faith in that, and faith in the power of God over all the world. We have to be able to operate as a Christian should operate and walk as we should walk. We need to keep that faith and keep that spirit of belief as we walk through the course of our life. Faith in the power of God overall. Faith in the purposes of God. You ever get to wondering about what in the world is happening and what God is doing and why this is happening, why that one did, and you know, what is going on in the world and what is happening? Certainly we all have those times, but we need to have faith in the greater purposes of God. Understand that He's got this thing all figured out. He's got it all under control. And so thank God for that. You can, you know, you can from time to time really see the providential hand of God in the affairs of men, and other times you can't. You know, it's like a river that runs underground for a while. You can't see it for a long while, but you'll see it down the way. You know, it's a river bed for a while, just sand, but then you go down the way a bit and the river comes up out and you can see it clearly. That's the same with the providential hand of God in our lives and in the affairs of men, affairs of the world. At times, you know, you just don't get it. And where in the world is it? I don't see it at all. And you can go miles down the riverbed without seeing the providence of God in the affairs of men or in your life personally. But then it comes up. You ladies are going to go to Ironwood, and it's along the Mojave River, which many people describe as a Mojave River bed. But there is water in it, and it does come up in places, and there's places you'll cross it where there's water, even now in the midst of the summer in the Mojave River. And so you'll see some of the water that's from the Mojave River in the lake there at Ironwood. But there's also part of the area you can walk down right into the sand and walk all the way across the river. You can be just like Peter. You can walk across the river and not even get your feet wet, you know. So you'll see that. But that's the experience of our life when we're talking about the providential care and hand of God. There's times like that where we go, where is it? But he's wanting us in those times when we're in the sand, when we're trudging through the sand of life, He wants us to keep the same faith in God that's there when we see the rivers of water, you know. And so let's bear that in mind when we're trying to keep a right heart and right spirit. Let's keep a right heart and a right mind. Let's keep a right manner of spirit with a believing spirit. In Romans 1 and verse 17, it says it this way: "For herein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." So those that are saved by faith are called the just. Now he says the just shall live by faith. And he uses that odd coupling there. He says from faith to faith. From faith to faith. It's almost like stepping stones in your walk with God. From faith to faith. The just shall live by faith. Not by just sight and seeing and figuring it out and knowing where the next step will go. But from faith to faith. There's another sense in that from faith to faith. It's from the faith of one to the faith of another. From communicating our faith to someone else who does not yet have faith is the means by which God gives faith, you know. He says, you know, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So as someone hears the Word of God from you and believes it and receives it, there's from faith to faith operational there. So he says our life as a Christian is to be a life of believing faith, a spirit of faith that operates in our life. We walk by faith and not by sight, he says over and again in the scripture. Remember through the book of Numbers, we were seeing how often the believers there, I mean, they were believers, they'd seen the work of God, they'd seen the hand of God, they'd seen the miracles, they'd seen the deliverance from Egypt, seen it all. And so obviously there weren't any of them that were atheists, you know. None of them were atheists and saying, I just believe all this was my imagination and there is no God and none of it happened and I'm in an alternate reality and all that. You know, that's not the case. They were believers. And so when they came up out of the Red Sea and they offered praise unto God and so forth, they were walking with God, they were right with God, they were ready to go through the wilderness and possess the promised land. They had it all figured out, you know, and they believed God was in it, and so on it went. But it didn't take very long for them to, in the midst of difficulties, revert back to an unbelieving spirit. Now, these were people that knew God and knew there was a God and knew God was for them. God was delivering them, but they had an unbelieving spirit. And so they were having that because they were walking. They quit walking by faith and began to walk by sight. When Moses first told them what was going to be and how it was going to work, they were believing it by faith. But now they're walking by sight because things look bad. Things look bad, and they're walking by sight. And you and I, you know, would say, why in the world, with all the things they saw? If I saw all those things, I would never lack faith, you know. But they did not have three distinct advantages that we do have. They did not have the finished Word of God, which we do. They did not have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, which we do. And the third big thing is they did not have 2,000 years of millions of testimonies of faithful Christians that lived and died for Christ that they had to look back on. They did not have that, you know. They didn't have generations and generations and generations before them who had lived for God. They were slaves in Egypt. And so we have so many distinctive advantages and so much less excuse for not living with a spirit of belief, a spirit of faith. And there you have it. How do we keep from having this hindered? You know, what does hinder keeping a spirit of belief? Well, different spirits that, and I'm not talking about devilish demonic presences, but I'm talking about spirits that the Bible speaks of, like the spirit of belief as what hinders the spirit of my belief would be a spirit of fear, you know. Being fearful, being afraid. Peter had a remarkable walk. Nobody else has done it, but Jesus has ever walked any distance on water. But Peter has. But the Bible declares that when he saw the wind boisterous and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And it says there, as he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. So fear entered in. The spirit of fear entered in. He started with a spirit a belief, as he kept his eyes on Christ, said, Lord, bid me come to thee. And he said, I will come, you know. And so he stepped out of the boat and began his walk. But when he looked away from Christ and to the boisterous wind and the waves, fear crept in. So the spirit of fear displaced the spirit of belief, the spirit of faith. And down he began to sink there. It is an object lesson that Christ put in the book for us to be reminded that the spirit of fear is not given to us by God. And when the spirit of fear enters in, the spirit of faith is set aside. And so he says, you know, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So the kind of spirit that God wants us to have is this believing spirit, power, spirit of power, spirit of love, and a sound mind. And so there you have the contrast. And what hinders the spirit of faith, the spirit of fear. Every one of us, we all have times of fear. I mean, you'd be in trouble if you weren't afraid of things and didn't get afraid of things. If you weren't afraid of a car barreling down the highway straight at you and you didn't dive out of the way, and certainly your heart would be pounding and you would certainly be expressing fear in every sense of the word. So we all get afraid, but it's our response to fear that makes the differences as to whether it's whether we have a spirit of belief or a spirit of unbelief. Our response to fear is what separates us from being described as fearful or faithful, you know. And so when we have fear, if we respond accordingly, if we respond biblically, then we're exercising a spirit of faith. But if we're overwhelmed and then become controlled by our fears, then we are operating in a spirit of fear. So we don't want to be controlled and overwhelmed and live in a spirit of fear. We all have fears from time to time, but we need to respond to them, you know, appropriately and biblically. So that's the difference there. David made a declaration in the Word that's helpful to us in times like this. And David was afraid at times. Sometimes he responded right, sometimes he didn't. But when he did, God blessed. When he didn't, there was trouble. And you can sort out those times. You know, he was afraid of Saul killing him. And he was trusting God and trusting God and trusting God. But time came when he gave up on that and he sort of went into fear, spirit of fear from the spirit of belief. And he got to thinking, well, God, I don't think God's going to protect me. I don't think it's going to work out. I'm going to go ahead and cross the border, and I'm going to go over to Achish, you know, and I'm going to go down there and join up with Abimelech's crowd, and I'm going to go, you know, across the way there, across Jordan, and I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to go down to Ziklag, and, you know, I'm going to get set up with a pagan people. And he did, and he ended up, you know, becoming a liar. I mean, he'd have to go out. They'd go out to battle, and David and his men would go out, and they'd slay, you know, the Amalekites and Hittites, you know, Hivites and so forth. They'd come back, and then they'd claim that they'd, you know, that they had slain their brethren, that they'd slain Israelites when the king would ask them, where'd you go? You know, what you been doing? So they had to lie about that. And his whole purpose in it was because he thought that was the only way he could save his skin, was to stay out of the borders of Israel. Well, it was a reaction that was guided by a spirit of fear. And David was at that time just maybe kind of following his heart. Dangerous thing to do. And so he says, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. He learned that. Psalm 56 and verse 3 is a good verse to memorize when you're in fear. Because David said it this way, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. So that's a good one. A good one to mark down and to recite when you have fears. Or recite that one, God hath not given a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7, is it? Faith is this. It's trusting God more than you trust your doubts. You know, none of us really can say we fully and 100% in every sense of the word, absolutely and perfectly all the time, trust God. You know, but we can have the victory of faith when we trust God more than we trust our fears. Remember when the pilot of the ship was talking to Paul, and Paul saying, you know, I perceive that this voyage will be with much hurt and damage to the ship and loss of the ship, he said. And it said, nevertheless, the captain of the ship believed the master more than he believed Paul. So he kind of believed Paul was saying, he kind of got it, and he took Paul's counsel, but he said, I believe the master more than I believe you. And the master said, let's sail, it's going to be all right. So what we need to do is believe the master more than we believe our doubts, you know, believe the Lord more than we believe our doubts. So, you know, and with us, with many Christians, it's not a spirit of rebellion that makes a Christian not do some things that he ought to do. You know, Christians ought to give, Christians ought to tithe, but fear enters in. They're not saying, I don't like God, and I don't want the work God do on. I don't like missionaries, and I hope the missionaries all starve. That's not their attitude, you know, why they don't give the missions or why they don't give tithe as faithfully as they should. Their spirit is saying, I don't know if I can make it. Man, if I give this much, that's a lot. 10% comes out to be a lot. I don't know if I can make ends meet if I tithe. And so it's a spirit of fear that's controlling rather than just a spirit of rebellion. But they just haven't learned yet that God will take care of it, and God will multiply the blessings, and God will never be outgiven and so forth. So that's what they contend with. We're out of time, but the last hindrance that I wanted to mention, there's probably others you can think of, but the last hindrance I wanted to mention was the spirit of worry and our question of what if, what if, what if. The solution to that is found in Matthew 6, and we won't take time to go there. But Matthew 6:27 through verse 34 gives the answer to the what if question, you know. And he says concerning our lives, he said, if the Lord, you know, so clothe the grass of the field, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? And if he feeds the sparrows of the air, cares for one that falleth, you know, don't you know he cares that much more for you than those simple things that raise up in a day and are gone the next? And so the spirit of worry is taken care of when we apply the scriptures. All right, we're supposed to have a finishing word of prayer and head down to the Master Club and celebrate.